speaking to Nevaeh this morning in Sunday school about the one true God and how that our God has a nose that can smell. And then I explained it to her like this, that when we come together and we worship the Lord in song or praise or prayer or whatever we do, it's like that incense. And when I asked her if she knew what it was to walk into a room with a candle burning, and you sniff and you say, where's that coming from? And you may go over and you look at the candle and you check it out to see what is that smell. And you might say, oh, I love that smell. Well, that's how God is with you and me coming together and laying aside the cares of life and the busyness of life and drawing our minds in to come and give him a little bit of our time and to worship him in whatever method that we do. It's like that sweet smell that comes up before him and it turns his attention toward us, just like our attention is turned toward a sweet smell coming from a scented candle. This morning, I would like to give a little bit of a review. Our thoughts are an extension of last Sunday morning. We started out with the message was on our mind, and we spoke about in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew, and that there was not a word of Hebrew that represented or was for mind, the word mind. And so through the Hebrew language, the words were used the heart, the soul, the spirit. Other words were used in a form of intention or memory. Those words took the place of the word mind. Then in the New Testament, it was written in Greek, and there were words that were used to interpret for the word mind, and it was understanding or thought or reason or judgment. It was also imagination or your will or affection. Throughout the discourse last Sunday morning, we also spoke on what we read on a billboard many years ago, that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. So we spoke about the wasting of time and mind and energy. And so that's a little review of what we had last Sunday. And I would like to start now this morning from a scripture in Ecclesiastes 1 and 13. And it says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Now, under the Old Testament, the word heart could take the place of mind. So we could insert the mind, the word mind, in that scripture and still not take away from the meaning, actually add to the meaning of the verse. So I'm going to read it again with the word mind. And it says, I give my mind to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. You might say that you and I would have to apply ourselves in our mind in order to search out these things that are done all around us. The mind cannot take in everything of this earth. Let's use one example. The human mind. There are people that study the actual physical part of the mind. They can tell you what the front part of the mind governs in your body. Our mind has so much to do with our body. If the brain is damaged, it can affect the whole body. It can affect the way that I am able to communicate or not communicate. Just one blow on the head, one bruise to the brain can affect so many areas of our physical body. It can affect whether I'm able to use this arm or even walk with my legs. The brain is a very important part of the body. And so therefore, I've got to consider what the brain does. It's that organ in my body that takes in information and is able to understand it and able to process it, if you will. And so the scripture here is saying that I've applied my mind to search out, to seek by wisdom. I am not able to just simply go out and say, I'm going to take a book and I'm going to find out all knowledge of all that is around me and receive something that will benefit me in life. Knowledge without the Holy Spirit is nothing but human thinking. And so you and I, we've stressed it before, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is vital in your life, in your walk with the Lord, in your the end of your life is going to determine whether you have sought for and accepted and been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it is through that channel, through that source, that your mind is going to be able to seek and search these things out. I would like to refer now to the first chapter of Proverbs, I'm sorry. The first chapter of Proverbs gives a number of reasons why Proverbs was even written. The word Proverbs is actually, the meaning of it is words that will condense into words what wisdom is. Proverbs is just a book that is written of all many examples or observations or experiences that Solomon had. And he was the wisest man on the earth. God gave him a wisdom that surpassed all other people. That's why when you study the book of Proverbs, you might find one verse that will just simply seemingly be disconnected with the next one. Well, it was just one verse that some way he had this wisdom that was to portray, teach, convey to you and me in our mind an understanding that will help us in life. And so if you look at the first chapter, and we're just going to look at a few of the first verses as to why Proverbs was so important, would you want to do without Proverbs in the Bible? We may not study Proverbs all the time, but we have found great wisdom when we study the book of Proverbs. So it's written for the purpose of giving you and me understanding of wisdom. Basically, that's the purpose. Verse 2, it says that it is written, and I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm not going to read this verse by verse, but you can read it along with my own words describing it. It is to know wisdom, and it is to know instruction. It is to perceive. Now listen to this part, because this is exactly what it says. It is to perceive words of understanding. In other words, when you and I were a baby, we have our little great-grandson, 5 months old. He's just beginning to we can get his attention. You know, the dog comes in, the dog is jumping around, and we say, "Doggy, doggy," and already he, when we say that word now, he'll look towards it. So you and I had a development of words from infants. An infant learns so much in their first year that I think they say that you learn more in your first year than you do in any other year. Now, that's hard to believe, but I've heard statements like that. But it all began with you and me when we were just babies. And words became very important to us. And we began to give meanings and descriptions. And it formed sentences then and communication and proverbs. It was written that you and I could perceive words of instruction. And then verse 3, it says that... Proverbs is to receive not just, and I put that word in there, not just wisdom, but also justice, judgment, and equity. So in our mind, God wants us through the Holy Spirit to be able to have a proper judgment, a proper justice, knowing right from wrong. But it begins in our mind and through the teachings and through the light and understanding of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that you can place proper judgment on situations that we have all about us in our society and the way that our society is living, the way that our society is moving in a downward slide. If I didn't have a proper judgment of that, I might think that's okay. I might think in my mind, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, because that's what the enemy wants you and me to have, a confused mind of what is right and wrong. So in verse 3, that's what he's saying here. Proverbs is a good book for you and me to learn something about justice and judgment and equity besides wisdom. Then verse 4, it says, I'm going to say it in my own words, it is to give skill and ability to the simple-minded. Now think about that. It says to the simple, but you could put simple-minded there. Now, all of us have been simple-minded. We may not feel simple-minded at our age right now, or after we have been educated to a degree. We may not look at ourselves as being simple-minded, but every one of us started out simple-minded. Something had to instruct our minds for us to have the knowledge and to have the understanding and to have the wisdom and even to be able to decipher whether something is right or wrong. But we all were simple-minded. And so Proverbs was written to give you and me skill and ability to be able to take these words and understand them and to apply them in our life. But it's through the mind. See? A mind, remember, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. We have a valuable thing if you have a clear mind. If you have a right mind, it's wonderful. There are many people that don't, that their mind is affected and they can't think like you and I. Thank God every day for a clear mind. So verse 4, it says, speaks about giving skill and ability. That's that word in there. I'm using the definitions for that word of subtlety. That's what that is standing for. Verse 5, it says that a wise man will hear and increase in learning. What do you think when I read that? Do you think of the scripture that said that one that hath more will be given? I thought of that verse. That the scripture says that he that hath not, that will be taken away. So what you and I do with our mind and with the process that God is wanting to use to get us to understand truth, if we love it, if we seek for it, if we desire it, if we absorb it, if we take it into our life, he'll give us more. That's just the That's, you might even call that a law of God, that if you have it, you will get more of it. I like that. So it says, a wise man, he will, when he has been taught, he will increase. He'll take in more. I'm not satisfied to be ignorant. Now we won't feel ourselves ignorant until we know that we need to learn more. How much do you need the Lord today? Have you found a place, a plane that you're just satisfied with? I can just walk with the Lord right here for the rest of my life. We don't want to be as a foolish man and hate wisdom and hate understanding. We want to be like a wise man that's going to seek these things out and increase in learning, ever coming to more and more knowledge of the Lord. Where are you today compared to where you have been? Can you look back at your life and say, well, I'll tell you this little story that comes to my mind, which is true. It was Brother Wise that lived in this congregation that has gone on to his reward, but he and Lorne, after Lorne got saved, we were fixing up the school in the back of the church here, and they both drove to Enid to a school, a Christian school up there that was getting rid of some of their equipment. And so this conversation took place. Brother Wise is much older, has been saved a long time at this point. He was a leader in the Sunday school class here. He was one that we looked up to as a wise man. His name was Wise, but he was a man that also had wisdom. And in the conversation, he was a very humble man also. Now remember, humility without wisdom, without humility will not work. But this is what Brother Wise said. He said to Lorne, he said, well, I think I'm further down the road than I once was. Well, in our mind, he's way down the road, see? But if we look in our lives and if we cannot see progress and growth, not for the purpose of lifting ourselves up or thinking we're something when we're nothing, but we ought to be able to see the hand of the Lord and how he has led us. Have you ever been down praying and have the Lord bring to your mind all of the things that he's done for you? All of the things he's brought you through? It will pay you and me to stop and look back and remember. One scripture says, remember the pit that you've been dug out of. Well, I want to remember where I was, but I also want to remember if the Lord has been able to deal with my heart all down through my life. That's a wise man. They'll increase. And so verse 7 now, it says the fear. Now we've got a little formula here. This is something to be able to say, this is how I can get wisdom and knowledge, is to fear God. The beginning of all of this is in whether I fear God. The scripture says in the New Testament, repeats it, fear God and keep his commandments. So we come down to this and we say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And I want to add some other words here because they represent wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of discipline in your life and my life. And we need discipline. You need to be able to discipline yourself. You might say, well, I'm saved by grace. It is a gift of God. I am, yes, we are, but it's in your hand and my hand if I keep that salvation, if I live in that salvation. It's the discipline of myself. There's a scripture over in the New Testament that speaks about you and me purging ourselves of these things that are listed there. So there, I have a job to do, and you have a job to do. It's not just that something comes down and it just forces you. God gave every one of us a will, and we can make a choice every day what you want to do with your life. He does not drive you, and he does not force you. He wants willing service from every one of us. He wants us to be willing to walk the straight and narrow way. He wants us to choose it every day. Thank the Lord. So I think discipline and discretion. You know what discretion, a definition for discretion is? It is just what I said. It's giving you the ability to make right choices. That's what discretion is. And it could be the same, take the same place there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of discretion in my life, in your life. The scripture also says in that particular passage, in that verse, verse 7, that fools despise instruction and despise, let's see, verse 7, wisdom and instruction. A fool will despise it. So I urge us all today now, we're starting out with this scripture, speaking of I'm going to give my heart, my mind to seek and search out by wisdom all of this under the earth. And so this is what our thoughts are going to follow this morning. Now, if you will go with me to the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, I'm going to, and I ask that you bear with us because it may sound a little bit negative in some of the thoughts that we present in the beginning, but we want to end with hope and with positive thoughts. But I believe that for me to understand wisdom of choosing right, I'm going to have to understand what am I to reject. And this, I'm looking at verses 5 and 7 through 9. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This is a very familiar scripture. We probably learned it when we were a child. But if we don't have wisdom as to what that scripture means, we will let it just slide by, and we may even come under a form ourselves and maybe not even realize it. But what this says to me is that I would be able to talk of righteous things and not have the power existing in my life. That's a very dangerous thing. Now, I'm by wisdom, I'm seeking and searching out these things. What are dangerous things for me to have in my mind? This is one of them. For me to understand that there is a possibility that any one of us could come under a thought like this. I could have just take on a form. I've got it in my mind. I know what to say. I know how to say it. I know how to dress. I know how to act. But there is something carnal still in the heart, and I haven't been cleansed from it. That is a form of godliness. What God is desiring in your heart and my heart is the blood washed, my sins covered, every sin, searching my heart. I have been saying that here in the congregation these past few weeks, and I'm going to say it probably again and again, that you and I need to open up our hearts before the Lord continually because of this scripture. Because I could take on a form. Because I could think myself right when I'm wrong. Because I can look in a mirror, not literally, but in the Word, and see myself and walk away and forget what manner of man I am. But I have been earnestly seeking the Lord and opening myself up You know, I want the Lord to go into every room of my house. I don't want a room with a door that has a lock on it. I want him to search it all. I want him to search my thoughts. I want him to search my words, my intentions of my heart, because he said he would. That was those places that he would search out. And when the Holy Spirit, oh, you need the Holy Spirit. You cannot search yourself. The scripture says, and I've said it before just recently in other messages, I'm going to repeat it. I want you to get a hold of it. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't know my own heart. Just like we said to you, maybe even last Sunday, you can see me. You know what I look like. You can see my life. You can see my fruit of my life. You can look at me physically right now. I can't see myself, but you can. Nor can you see yourself. I'm looking at you. I behold your faces. I know what you look like. That is what we're talking about. Taking on a form of godliness is very serious if we are denying the power of what godliness can truly do in our life. And so then we go to verse 7. And this describes a person that is taking on just a form of godliness. It says they are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, never facing themselves, never believing the truth, never always finding some place to work out their own salvation. See, people love to use that verse. Oh, the verse, the word is true. It says, work out your own salvation. If we stopped right there, we would all have a free-for-all. But it goes on and it says, with fear and trembling. You can't just work out your salvation and say, well, the Lord and I, we have an understanding. There's people that say that. There's people that think that they can just live as long as their conscience does not bother them, and they think they're okay. Why can I not follow that? Because the Bible tells me that there is a conscience that can become seared and hardened and can't understand it. When the Spirit of the Lord comes to reprove. So, ever learning and never coming to the full knowledge of the truth. Has a head knowledge, this is what I wrote down, a head knowledge that has never become heart conviction. Does that make sense? You know what this word conviction means? Is to be convinced to the point of believing. In the Word of God, we have to believe. I'm going to read you a scripture with what will happen if we don't believe. Verse 8 says, those who resist the truth, I'm giving you part of that verse, those who resist the truth, and that part is in my words, are men of corrupt minds. Now that's in that verse. I'm not taking away from the verse. I'm just wanting us to get the true meaning of this verse and it sink down in our hearts. If I resist the truth, if I say, well, I just don't see it that way, well, it's just not a conviction to me. You're resisting the truth. I want to tell you something that was taught us down through our life. In this congregation, there's many things that you and I may not fully understand. And maybe we may not even fully see it. We may not have full light on whatever the subject is. Sister Souter always told me this. She said, if there's something you don't understand, don't reject it. That's wise counsel. One that will receive that counsel is wise also. They will increase because you and I are not going to understand the reasons why for everything. But don't reject it. Wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, He will enlighten our eyes if we seek and search by wisdom. If we seek for those things, He will give us understanding. Isn't that a wise man increasing then? Is being added to them? Thank the Lord. If I resist the truth, this is what will happen. It will corrupt my mind. And I will be a reprobate of the truth. I wanted to give you a definition here of reprobate. Over in Romans, first chapter, verse 28, it's a familiar scripture to us. We know what it's talking about in that chapter. We know exactly the subject. Do you know what the subject is in the first chapter of Romans? Do you know? You need to know. We're in that kind of time today. You need to know, what does the word of the Lord say on this subject? So I'm going to challenge you to study the first chapter of Romans so that you are familiar with what the word of God says about our society and the direction it's going today. But this is what the word says in that one. Let's turn over there. Romans, the first chapter, verse 28. This is what it says. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now we're going to talk about reprobate because you have it now in two different places here. You have it in this passage that we were just reading over in Timothy. It said that if I resist the truth, I will have a corrupt mind, and I will also have a reprobate, or not able to search it out, faith. That's what will happen. Now let's go back to the scripture in Romans, that He will give them over to a reprobate mind. This word reprobate means unsearchable. It means that they do not have the ability to search it out anymore. Why? Because they chose not to retain God in their knowledge in the first place. Isn't that resisting the truth? That's resisting the truth. And so it made me think about an instance one time, and I don't want to say this in any way to reflect on who it might be. It's many years ago. The person is not here. There was a resistance in this person. And we were burdened about this situation. And they made a rash statement. Well, I just will not do such and such. And it wasn't but a few days, and something happened in that person's life that they could not do it if they even had wanted to do it. You and I need to be very careful about the thoughts that we allow in our mind to affect what comes out of our mouth. Well, I won't do that. It's possible that you will not be able to do it when you make rash statements such as that. But that is linked up to this scripture in Adam Clark. This is what it said. They did not search to retain God in their knowledge, and they did not examine the evidence. We're talking about seeking and searching by wisdom all of the things under the heavens. And this is under the heavens. These things that we're talking about. So when we resist the truth, when we fail to even seek for or search it out. Adam Clark said they did not examine the evidence. So what happened? They refused it. And God gave them over to an unsearching, undiscerning mind. You cannot discern now whether it's right or wrong because you rejected it. Do you see why Sister Souter said the counsel, the wise counsel? If you don't understand, don't reject it. The Lord can give you light and understanding. And then we come back to this other scripture in Peter. And the ones that resist it have a corrupt mind and an unsearching mind. So it's very important that we all understand light is precious. Understanding is precious. Jesus even said it, walk in the light while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And then he went on and said, and how great is that darkness? That's at a point where ye would not, and now ye cannot. See how important it is that we be careful what we think in our mind, what judgments that we conclude in our mind. Romans, the 7th chapter now. We're going to look at verses 22 to 25. And this says, Paul here is trying to give us all a little wisdom here. We're going to search it out now. In verse 22, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That would be the mind. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Have you ever had a war in your mind? Have you ever had a battle in your mind? That is the battleground of today, is in the mind. See, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. We need the Holy Spirit in our mind and in our heart, guiding our thoughts. So Paul here is saying, I saw that I had another law in my members that was warring against the law of my mind. You know what that would be? That would be a war against your reasoning power. Because we have, you know, I believe we had a message just not very long ago about voices and understanding and knowing the voice of the Lord. Recognizing there's another voice that can be imitation, presenting itself as an angel of light, being Satan. The rest of that says, and I put in here trying. This war that's against the law of my mind is trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin. Paul is giving us some real wise words here that you and I can get a hold of in 2014, because this is what that's what our battles are. There is a war going on against my mind. See, first of all, he said, I delight in the law of the Lord or God after, it says the inward man. But I'm using that as my mind. There is a part of you and me that when we are saved and living for the Lord, we can pick up the word of the Lord and find great delight. Have you opened the word of the Lord, the word of God, and the Spirit of the Lord anointed to you so much that you're thrilled with it? You know what I'm talking about? Surely you know what I'm talking about. I know that that's how the Lord works. He thrills our heart with his word. And he wants it to be so implanted in our hearts that we would not sin against God. But there's this war going on in our mind. It also has to do with our eyes. That you and I have to make a covenant with our eyes. We're in a world where there is wickedness all around us. We're in that time of the saints being compassed about with wickedness. It doesn't matter, man or woman. We must make a covenant with our eyes to keep our soul, because what we see is going to affect my mind. There used to be another billboard here in Oklahoma City. It was a automated one. It was electric. I still remember it as a child. And it had these monkeys with their arms that would move. And it said, see no evil. This was in our Oklahoma City. It was a message to the people. Those kind of billboards aren't around for your generation, but they were for mine. So here's one monkey going like this with his hands, see no evil. The next one was hear no evil. The third one was speak no evil. Don't you know that would be a powerful message for our society today? But it's not there. So that is the message that is given here, that my mind is going to be affected by what I hear, what I see, and what I speak. So it's warring against the reason of my mind. And verse 24, I'm just going to give you a portion of it. It says, Paul says, who shall deliver me? Here I've got this war going on in my mind. There's part of me that is delighting in the Lord, but there's this war. And then he says, and the answer, I just put down the answer is verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where our help is. Our help is going to come from God. You cannot purpose in yourself to be a strong, moral man. We have moral people in this world that may never go out and rob a bank or do an immoral act. But if they do not have the blood of Jesus and the power of Christ enabling them to do that, when they stand at the judgment, all of their morals will be stripped away, because he's looking for the blood of Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. So don't depend on your own ability to do all of these good things, because you can't work yourself into heaven. There's not going to be any merit to all that you do that is so good unless you've turned your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed his blood to cover every sin and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where your merit will be. So thank God for Jesus today. And then verse 26, and I put this down first, this word, for you and me to recognize what's in this one. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God. See, it starts in the mind. The scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So you see, our thoughts. Now go to 1 Peter 1 and 13 through 15. It says, wherefore gird up the loins of your what? Your mind. Our mind is a very important thing this morning. And I don't know where I read this. I believe I read this in another translation maybe. But it says something here. I like the way it says it. It says, prepare your mind for action. I'm going to insert another word here. Prepare your mind for right action, for right choices. Gird up the loins of your mind. Stove it up. Secure it. And then it says in verse 14, it says, and I'm putting the word be, this is how you do it, obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. What were your former lust? I'm going to say a lot of the former things were by influence of others. Intimidation. We call it peer pressure. I think we've all experienced peer pressure. Can I challenge you, young people? Have peer pressure for good and right. Influence each other. Challenge each other to do right. Let that be your peer pressure. Oh, you might say that doesn't sound very good. I like right influence, don't you? Don't you like people that can influence you for good? I do. That's what the challenge is. So this is what this is saying here. Is be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust. In verse 15, but as he which hath called you is what? Holy. Be ye holy. In all manner of conversation. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. We're moving from the direction of the negative now to the positive. This one says, seek those things which are above. That's how you will be able to seek and search out by wisdom. It's wise for you to seek the things that are above. Verse 2, set your affections on things above. You remember the word affection was also used for the mind? That was in the translations. So we could use that. We could say, give your thoughts or set your mind even then on things above. So affections are going to be of the heart. Okay, Hebrews 8 and 10. Here's another positive. He says, I will write my laws into their mind. And I will put them in their mind, and I will write them in their heart. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Romans 8, 6. To be spiritually minded, life and peace. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. Thank the Lord. That's our little thought this morning. Trust that the Lord can take it home with you and understand you have a war going on in your mind. It's that member that is warring against your mind. Pray for me.